How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up underneath it, raise it in the air, bear witness of God's Word. All right, you may be seated. Two places I would ask you to turn today. The first is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the next is James chapter 5. Romans 8, James chapter 5. When you find your place, say, I have it. You can mark Romans 8, but we're going to start in James chapter 5. Today, I think we should talk about something that you would expect to talk about in church. We're going to talk about prayer. Now, how many people think that's an appropriate subject for church? As a matter of fact, when we hear that we're talking about the subject of prayer, something happens to us. A lot of times, we think, even when I mention prayer, our conscious mind tells us prayer. Oh, well, I know that prayer is important. Yes, we should pray. I know what prayer is. Yes, I pray. Yes, everyone should pray. And our mind begins to block out everything else that we may hear about prayer. That's the way we do sometimes when we think we know all about a subject, don't we? Prayer, well, that's an elementary subject. We expect to talk about that in church. I know all about prayer. Got that covered, Pastor Mike. But today, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you, even if you think you know everything there is to know about prayer, I'm going to ask you to open your mind and your heart to God's Word to see if your prayer life is what it should be. And if your prayer life is pleasing to God, and maybe ask yourself, do I really have a prayer life? And if you do, ask yourself if you're using your prayer life the way that God intended you to use it. And we start with the verse of Scripture in James chapter 5. So I ask you to turn there. And in James chapter 5, we actually have a passage of Scripture that is pretty powerful. It's verse 16. And the Bible says, and James talking to Christians here, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. Now listen to this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Being translated into the words we may understand more clearly, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So this brings me to our subject of prayer that I want to talk about. Because in being able to meet with various people, I hear something a lot from Christians. And myself, I've felt it so many times in my Christian walk, and I'm thinking maybe you felt it too, because this is the reason the Lord has led me to this passage of Scripture. I feel that sometimes in my Christian walk, and I feel that so many other people have experienced prayer failure. Prayer failure. Now, you may say, if you talk to God and you pray to God, there's no prayer failure. I want to give you the reality of things today. Understand that there are times in your life that you just feel like you're disconnected with God. You can't even talk to God. Has anybody ever felt that? Be honest and raise your hand. You've experienced prayer failure. There's been times in your life where you just really haven't felt like praying. There was no desire. If that's the case, raise your hand. Or we're getting more honest as we go along. That's prayer failure. There's been times where you've just felt, I'm just too tired to pray. If you've experienced that, raise your hand. That's prayer failure. Then there's other times where something becomes so big, or maybe you just don't understand it and you don't even know how to phrase it to God. You don't know what to say. You say, I'm getting ready to pray, but I don't even know what to pray. And so it feels awkward there. Have you ever experienced that? That's prayer failure. At the end of all those, prayer failure means that there was not the right communication between you and God. And that happens. As a matter of fact, I believe that it's probably happened to everybody in this room. And so I think that we need to talk about this subject today. I listen to people describe prayer failures in their lives all the time, and they do it in different ways. They say, I don't feel like God's hearing me. I don't see anything happening. I don't really know what to say to God, or I feel uncomfortable. And that's prayer failure. You see, when you look at prayer in the simplest form, prayer is the greatest Christian privilege that God has ever given us. You know, we tell people, and a lot of times when you're trying to lead somebody to the Lord, you tell that person, and I've heard people say it, I've said it myself, listen, you know, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you because you're a sinner. How many people know you're a sinner? He sent His Son to die on a cross because we're a sinner, and our sin stops us from getting to God. So God sent Jesus, and if you believe in Jesus, then God will save you. And if He saves you, that means He takes away your sin so that you can come to God. And here's what we say, so that you can be in heaven forever. How many people have ever described it that way with you? And see, eternity, I don't want to discount eternity. Eternity is a big deal. That's forever and ever. But here's what we miss. One of the greatest Christian privileges is prayer. That means God gives you something you can have right now. You have communication with God Almighty. The one that created you, the one that created the person beside of you, the one that made the sun to come up, the one that's giving you the breath now to be able to live, the one that's affecting your tomorrow and the next day, the one that's helping the relationship you're in, the one that's supplying your needs, the one that's making it possible for you to be able to do whatever you're doing. You get to talk to God Almighty whenever you want. That's a privilege, isn't it? You see, right now, we're physically separated from God. And as far as I know, nobody's raising their hand signing up to be able to leave right now. You know, we say, well, I want to be with God one day. We don't ever say, I want to be with God right now. I mean, I'm looking forward to being with God, but I'm not going out of here stepping off a building or walking in front of cars, right? So I'm here, but I'm separated physically from God. God gives us prayer so I don't have to be separated from Him. He gives us prayer so that I can have open communication with God. Prayer is the way that we're able to come into the Creator, the Sustainer of this world. I gave the example in early service this morning. I remember as I had my son at a professional ball game, and we were waiting for the players. We got there early. We were waiting for the players to come before the ball game started so that we could get autographs and stuff. And I remember as they were coming down, it was like you were just looking, trying to make eye contact to see if they would make eye contact with you. And they would come and sign this because they were famous. And we stood for like hours and waited for this. And yet I got under conviction because the most famous person, the one that created those people, the one that knit those people together, the one that gave them the ability, the one that's above all, I would have a hard time 5 minutes sometimes waiting on Him. So understand it's a privilege to get to know that God wants to fellowship with me. Individually, He knows my name. He knows who I am. I'm important to Him. It's not that I have to be able to say, hey, God, hey, it's me down here. And I watch the movies where somebody just meekly, hey, God, do you remember me? That's not the way it is. In spite of who I am, He loves me. And then the next thing, after realizing that prayer is this great privilege, prayer is the greatest way that we can serve God. The greatest way we can serve God. You know, sometimes we think, well, we need to go do this act or do this deed. And hey, listen, we need to come to church. We need to sing in the choir. We need to go out here and serve at the homeless shelter. In between there, we're going to change somebody's tire on the way because they had a flat tire. We're going to give to this cause. We're going to do this. We're doing all these good works, and we're trying to serve God as best that we can. The greatest way that you can serve God is to pray to Him. Did you know that? And I talk to people sometimes that get so discouraged because they say, you know, I feel like I can't do anything for God. I'm not good at this. I can't serve Him here. Or maybe something's happened physically with them and they get depressed and they say, well, listen, I don't know what kind of skills or abilities I have to serve God. The greatest way you can serve God is to pray to Him. We serve God by having fellowship with Him. God's greatest desire for us is to love Him. And if you love somebody, that person wants you to talk to them. I look at my children. I'm in a father's role to them. So I compare that a lot to God the Father and us. And more than anything, I want my children to come to me and love me and talk to me because they want to, not because they have to. I don't want them coming to me all the time and just say, well, I've got this and I've got that, and can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Sure, they're going to come to me with that. Sometimes I want them to come to me because they love me and just say, hey, I've been thinking about you. That's the greatest way that we can serve God. He created you, get this, to have fellowship with Him. The greatest way you can serve Him is to have fellowship with Him. How do you have fellowship with Him? By talking to Him, by praying to Him, by bringing yourself to Him. So we understand that, first of all, prayer is a great privilege, and second of all, it's the greatest way we can serve God. But I want you to understand today that we need to know that in a lot of Christians' lives, prayer is their greatest failure. Our prayer life is our greatest failure. You may think you've failed at some things, but I'll guarantee you that we can look back in a time in our life, and it may be now for some of us. It may have been in the past, but I think as a rule, Christians in general, as a whole, one of our greatest failures as Christians is our prayer life. So many Christians look at prayer as a conversation that they can pick up and put down whenever they think about it. Or it's a convenient conversation that they can have, a casual conversation, maybe when they're at church. We think that it's a time to come to God with our wish list and give it to Him and then go back and go through the life that we have until we come up with some more things and then meet back with Him with a new wish list. We come to church and, well, people are praying. We started the service with prayer. Here, Dwayne's prayed twice already in this service. What in the world's going on? Well, we're having fellowship with God. You can't do anything else before you come in and say hello. And then we can't have a service without Him, so we're inviting His presence to be here. And then He gave us what He gave us to be able to give back to Him. So we're thanking Him for giving it to us. And so we pray for our service because we need His presence. We're talking to God. But if church is the only time you find yourself praying, you're having a prayer failure. Here's a scary thought. There are some Christians who are truly saved. Truly saved. And they've been coming to God for years with their ritual prayers and their ritual prayer life. But their prayers are not reaching God because they never truly, sincerely come to God seeking fellowship with Him. Did you hear that? True Christians, truly saved, but their prayers aren't reaching God because they're coming to God without the desire to have fellowship with Him. To them, He's become a genie in a bottle or a Santa Claus God that they can believe will give them the things that they want. But they don't seek fellowship with Him. You know, go back to that scenario that I was giving you. Every parent that's here knows that if a child continually comes and they want this and they want this and they want this, but until they want something, the only time you would hear from them is if they're in need. If that's the only time the conversation comes to you, then you're going to know that they're not really seeking fellowship with you. It's not really the relationship, it's what you can do for them, right? And we get like that with God, don't we? Don't we? We're going to all get honest this morning, okay? Because if we can wrap our minds and hearts around this subject right here, you can turn this world upside down. Amen. You see, they never truly ask God for forgiveness and repent. You see, asking God for forgiveness means that you're telling Him, I'm sorry, but to change what you're doing, that's repentance. And sometimes as Christians, we come to God and we know there's something going on in our lives and we know that it's not what God would want us to do. And we ask for forgiveness, but we do it because it's a ritual prayer. God, please forgive me of my sins. But we have no intention of stopping that sin. And so because we have no intention of that sin, then the plea for forgiveness is hollow. And so we don't get that fellowship with God, because God that knows our hearts and knows our mind is sitting there saying, "You're saying what again?" So he understands that. You see, we paint God as God the Father, who hears our prayers and answers our prayers, and that's not a bad picture. But I want you to see the full picture of God the Father, and I believe it will help your prayer life. I think we want to paint God so many times as a smiley face that stands up somewhere, and we put God His love underneath it, and we just choose to forget about all the rest of the things. But understand that God demands certain things from us. And the one thing that He demands is our sincerity, our truthfulness. And I want to take you in reference to a passage of Scripture. If you remember the children of Israel that had turned their back on God so many different times, and when the tribe split up and Isaiah was ministering to the tribe of Judah, or in Judah, we read in Isaiah chapter 1. I want you just to listen to this quote. This is God talking in Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 15. Here's what He told them. He said, "And when you spread forth your hands," now talking about them praying, can you imagine? "God, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you for this." They're spreading forth their hands. You would expect. Now you write the rest of the verse. "When you spread forth your hands, I'm going to hear your cry and I'm going to answer your prayers." That's the God that we want to paint all the time. Listen, let me show you something. Isaiah 1, verse 5. Excuse me, verse 15. He says, "When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers," listen to this, "I will not hear." Does that blow your mind? God's told us in His Word, there can be a time when you pray to Him and He's telling you, "I don't care what kind of scene you're making. Put your hands in the air all you want to. I'll turn away. I'll hide my eyes so I won't see it." When you make many prayers and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying, guess what? "I will not hear them." That's a prayer failure, isn't it? Well, what was the cause? The cause was that they never truly came to Him with a repentant heart. They never truly wanted to change. They never truly wanted fellowship with Him. He said from the beginning, "Thou shalt make the Lord God the first thing on your list. Have no other gods before Me." And they refused to do it. So He said, "You're going to experience prayer failure." But at the same time, transition this verse with 2 Chronicles 7:14. You remember this verse. This is when Solomon built the temple and God was speaking to Solomon. He said, "Listen, let me give you this advice to give to the people." He said, "If My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Now, did you hear that? First of all, if My people will what? Humble themselves and pray. Not pray, then humble yourself. Humble yourself and pray and seek My face. So listen to this order. It's pretty elementary. Humble yourself. That means you come to Me wanting to know that, or knowing that I am God, you are not God. Humble yourself and pray. Then talk to Me. How do you pray? Seeking My face, wanting to have fellowship with Me. Let me ask you, as a Christian, are you praying to have better fellowship with God? Is that part of your prayer? Or is it just, "God, I know I need to bring these things"? We even bring things on other people's behalf. "God, can you help Miss so-and-so and Mr. so-and-so and my friend so-and-so?" And we think we're doing this great privilege. Hey, the first thing God wants you to ask is, "Hey, God, how's our relationship? Will you strengthen my relationship with You?" That's big, isn't it? So we transition that with 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, basically, that there's a problem in the way that we come to God. He says that there's a difference in the way we come to Him as to whether we have prayer failure or not. If we come to God and we're not expecting any fellowship, We're not wanting him to change us. We're just wanting him to change whatever situation we're in. You're going to have prayer failure. But if we come to God humbly seeking his face, turning from our wicked ways, that's repentance, then he will hear us from heaven and will forgive our sins. That's the first thing that has to happen. And then heal our land. Big deal, isn't it? Another scary thought is that there's some people who have prayed all their lives. They've had their ritual prayers, but their prayers have never left the room that they're praying them in because they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior. Sad but true. The Bible's explicit in telling us that the first prayer that God can hear and answer from someone that isn't saved is, God, save me. Forgive me. Be merciful to me. We can't just go into the throne room of God. We can't have our prayers go to God. We have to go by way of Jesus Christ. And you can't go by way unless you accept him. John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I can't sashay into the presence of God if I'm lost and say, God, I have a prayer for you. I can't. Why? Because I have to go in the name of Jesus. So the first thing I have to do is be saved. You say, well, okay, you've thoroughly depressed me, and I don't know about my prayer life right now. Well, you know, I wouldn't give you that unless there was a remedy to prayer failure. I'm not here today to depress you. I'm here today to give you God's Word because it gives us a remedy for prayer failure. How many people want a remedy for prayer failure? How many people have ever experienced prayer failure? You want a remedy? We go to God's Word. You see, in order to have a prayer life, an effective prayer life, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. That means it's effective. In order to have an effective prayer life, you have to have the Holy Spirit of God working in you to help you pray. There's your whole answer. You say, well, listen, my prayer life stinks because I've got a relationship problem. I'm here to tell you today it doesn't. It might stink, but it's not because of your relationship problem. It's because of a spirit problem. God's not answering my financial prayer. I've got a financial problem. No, you've got a spirit problem. God's not answering my health prayer. No, it's a spirit problem. It's a spirit problem. It's a spirit problem. Why? Because understand, we can't pray effectively until we have the Holy Spirit helping us pray. And we leave the Holy Spirit out of it a lot of times. I want to tell you why. You see, this is something you need to listen close to. This is what the Bible tells us. It's pretty simple. We can't talk to God without the Holy Spirit speaking on our behalf. You can't talk to God. I can't talk to God. You think you have words? You think you can come in the presence of God? God has to have the Holy Spirit speak for you. And I don't want you to think it's my opinion. I want to show you today. And number two, we can't have the Holy Spirit without accepting Jesus as our Savior. You don't just get the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, Jesus said before he went back to heaven, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. How many people remember that? You shall receive power. Well, the problem is we can't pray to God sometimes because we have a power problem. You see, the power has to get from the Holy Spirit to God. It's no different. Not long ago, I had someone come out because I had an outside receptacle. Brother Scott Leslie came out. He looked at that receptacle. He said, listen, it's not working because it doesn't have any power. I said, well, look at the fuse box. It's saying it's got power. He says there's a power problem somewhere. The power's not getting from this to the receptacle. And that's what happens in our life. We're not getting power from the Holy Spirit working through us to get to God. Our prayer life, our prayer failure sometimes is just a power problem. We can't generate our own power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So consider this. When we look and we read God's Word, I ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8. I want you to look at verse 26 and 27. We'll see that the Scripture proves what we're saying today. Look at verses 26 and 27. Romans 8. The Bible says, and Paul writes, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It helpeth. Say that word with me. And I know that's the King James word, but I like it because it just sounds stronger than help. Helpeth. Say it with me. So what helpeth our infirmity? Somebody tell me. Tell me again. And what does the Spirit do? It helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for all the saints, for the saints according to the will of God. There's more going on when you pray than just that little prayer you're throwing out there. There's more than just that little wish list I'm throwing out there. Understand that in order for the prayer not to be a prayer failure, then I need to pray through the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I need to pray with a repentant heart. I need to pray seeking fellowship with God. You say, this is complicated. Well, do you want your prayer answered or not? Do you want your prayer answered according to God's will or not? And sometimes God knows that our prayer is not the best thing for us. He might answer it. You're saying it hadn't been answered. Yes, it's been answered. It wasn't the best thing to happen. But understand, a lot of times it never reaches that point. It's just prayer failure. It's a scary thought to think that out of the millions and millions of prayers that are lifted up every day, if you were to get a percentage of how many of them actually get to God, and those that don't get to God because they weren't prayed in the Spirit. Wow, that's a little bit deeper than just talking about prayer, talking to God, right? You see, we have to use the Holy Spirit in order to pray. Let me rephrase that. We must use the Holy Spirit in order to pray. If someone's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they're not indwelled by that Spirit. They can't pray. And if a Christian continues to live in sin, then the Holy Spirit inside of them is grieved because they're living in disobedience to God, and if they refuse to stop that sin and truly repent of it, then they're not going to be able to pray. They're going to have a prayer failure. So in either case, that prayer life is not working because the Holy Spirit, who we read is the intercessor between us and God, that lives in us, is not being able to intercede. Just a couple of things. God can't live in us unless we accept salvation through Jesus, number one. Number two, He can't work in us unless we're trying to not hide something that we're doing with Him. You see, a lot of Christians have prayer failures because there's that thing that is in our life that we're refusing to give up to Him. And you say, well, I pray and I pray. Isn't it sort of scary to think about all the time you spend in praying, but if that one thing that you weren't willing to give up could be stopping all your prayers from reaching God? Well, it's no different. Let's go back to that father-son relationship. If I know my children are doing something that I've told them not to do, but they come in front of me and they're pretending to be, hey, everything's good. Everything's good. I'm doing this. And hey, I need a little help here. And hey, I just wanted to come. But I know in my mind they're doing something completely against me. I know it, but they don't know I know it because I'm their dad. Well, think about how much smarter God is than I am. God knows everything we're doing. And if we're doing something against Him and we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit's living inside of us. So if the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that, Mike, but I keep doing it, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. Do you think I can use that same Holy Spirit that I'm grieving to come and say, pray to God on behalf of me? I can't. I have to go to God and I have to say, God, forgive me of doing that. I want to stop. Then the Holy Spirit is not grieved anymore. And He says, I'll be glad to go to God and speak on your behalf. You see what I'm saying? And because we fail to do that, we have prayer failure. So you may be saying right now, this message doesn't pertain to me. Number one, I know I'm saved. Number two, I don't have any blatant unconfessed sin in my life. But the message is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. Even if you're saved and you're not living in sin, your prayer life still may be your greatest failure. Most of all of us have experienced prayer failure. So let me ask you this. You know the answer to this question. You know if you're praying like you should. I want you to take just 15 seconds here, and I want you to ask yourself. This is just you and God listening in on this little self-quiz you're giving yourself. And If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Just take this little test. He will tell you right now. He'll give you an answer immediately. Am I praying to God like I should? It's yes or no. And he'll tell you right now because he wants you to know. And he knows, hey, I've got a message coming to you about it. So get your answer. Am I praying to God like I should? And you know the reason we have this today is because all of us are guilty of going through times when we're not praying like we should. But let me tell you why. Because we're made that way. We're made that way. Here are three things that I want to give you that show you that in our lives, there are things that work against our prayer life. And God knows there are. Number one, there's not a natural desire in us to pray. Now, I know I'm stretching your mind a little bit this morning, but there is not a natural desire inside of any man to pray. You said, oh, pastor, you're wrong there. There's times I want to go to God and pray. It isn't your own desire. Get your chest tucked back in. That's the Holy Spirit leading you to God. You have no natural desire to go to God and pray, not in your flesh. Your flesh is carnal. It doesn't just desire to go to God and pray. Number two, the thing that works against us is we get to points in our life where we really don't know what to pray or how to pray. Have you ever been there? And so we've got that going against us. And then put this one on top. You've got somebody every day working against you praying. That's the devil. The devil does not want you to pray. Now, he doesn't care what kind of mission program, what kind of elaborate plan, what kind of service thing. If you do all those things, but he can keep you from praying every day, he'll beat you every day of your life. Every single day of your life, he will beat you up if he can stop you from praying. No matter what you can say you've done, he'll beat you up. You say, will he? He will me. I can get so busy serving him sometimes and being on fire and thinking, hey, got to do this, going over here, going to do this. And guess what? I haven't prayed like I should. Guess who beats me up? Devil, beat me up if I don't pray. But if I pray, he ain't got nothing for me. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But sometimes I forget him in here, you know? Sometimes I just get too busy. So the devil doesn't want me praying. I don't have a natural desire inside of me to pray. And then sometimes I just don't even know the words to pray because I don't know how to pray. So with all those things, what do I do? Do I have a good excuse? Well, no. You see, here's the great thing. God knows that we have these things going on. He knows we have these things that challenge our prayer life, that work against our prayer life. So he helps us be able to pray to him. What God gives us is a helper. Remember our word, what do we say out loud? The Holy Spirit, it does what? It helpeth us. The helper is the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want you to just look at one part of the Bible. You can write these down. We won't go to them and read them, but just as a reference, because the Bible proves itself. Ephesians 6:18 tells us this. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now listen, in the Spirit. If you're praying, but you're not praying in the Spirit, you're going to experience prayer failure. How are you supposed to pray? I want you to turn to the person beside of you and I want you to say like this, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. That means you're using the Spirit to pray. Jude, verse 20. You say, what chapter? Jude's only got one chapter. Verse 20. Guess what the Bible tells us? It says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, that's how we're communicating with God. We have to use that Spirit. You say, well, hey, is that a big deal? If you've got the Spirit, you can use the Spirit. No, you have to be able to recognize the Spirit in you. That Spirit is seeking fellowship with God. Christian, if you're not seeking fellowship with God, then the rest of your prayers, you're trying to go to 2, 3, 4, and 5, and you're missing one. The first thing God wants is for you to approach the Spirit inside of you and say, God, how are me and you? How are me and you? Are we good? I've done something against you, and I want to be able to tell you, hey, I'll forgive you of it. What do you need? Isn't that awesome? How many of us skip one, though? We go right into it. Hey, got to remember my list. Got to remember my list. In Romans 8:26, the Bible says, since God knows we have these problems, and I love it, the Spirit, read verse 26 with me. He says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know what we should pray. He prays for us. The Spirit prays for us. God wants us to talk to Him so much, He equips us when He saves us with Him inside of us that will help us talk to Him. That's how bad He wants to talk to you. And what does He do? Well, He helps us where we need it. Well, where's the first area of need? Well, I just put a couple of needs down that I can list that I know He helps us with. First of all, number one, the Holy Spirit motivates our will to pray. Understand that inside of you, like we talked about a minute ago, you don't have a natural desire to pray. You say, well, I don't. No, you don't. Read with me this passage of Scripture in Romans 8. You're in the right chapter. Look at verses 5 through 7. Now, even though you got saved, there's a part of you that is carnal, a part of you that's spiritual. You realize that, right? Now listen to this, verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So understand, there's a part of you and me that's carnal, that's fleshly. You say, you mean my flesh, my skin, my bones? No, not that flesh. There's a part of you that is born, that is not of God, that is not spiritual already. It's that evil mind that we have. It's that the thought process. It's the selfishness. It's the hate. It's all those other things that want us to succeed. You know you have that, right? You are battling against that, right? We all have it. It's the carnal part of us. And that part, that mental part, I'm not talking about, this is not physically, this is mentally, emotionally. We just don't have a natural desire to pray unless the Holy Spirit motivates us. When people fall away from God and they're not in touch with the Spirit and they keep falling further and further, the reason is because they don't come back to God in prayer because they're not motivated to. There's nothing in you when you're out of fellowship with God that says, come and talk to me, because that's the Holy Spirit that's telling you that. When you reject the Holy Spirit and you're grieving Him, that's why you need other people praying for you. Thank God for the people that got on their knees and prayed for me when I stopped praying. Is it all making sense now? We need to pray and ask God daily to motivate us to pray. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God, make me want to pray. He's not going to be offended. He knows He made you. He knows the carnal part of you doesn't even want to come and pray. I mean, think about it. How many of us can truly say, there's just times when I don't want to pray. I don't feel like it. Thank you for being honest. There's times I just don't feel like, I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about, my mind ain't in it. I don't feel like praying. And you find yourself making yourself to pray because you say, well, hey, this is the time I pray every day, so I need to go ahead and pray. And so you're making yourself pray, but you don't feel like it. You're hoping something happens in the process, but until then, let me get through my list. Okay, here, got it. Okay, prayer's done. Can I get a witness? Ever happened to anybody in here? Hey, we're getting more honest as the day goes along. Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit can give you that natural desire. When you get down to verse 15 of Romans 8, something beautiful happens. He gives us a passage of Scripture, and Paul tells us, he says, when you got saved, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what the devil has you in bondage. He says, you receive the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So he's saying, when you get saved, something happens to you. God becomes your father. You become the child. This is as natural desire as anybody can have. The easiest thing for a child to say is, Abba, Father. You say, Abba, Father, that means daddy or mama. That means that's an easy thing. They don't have to think about it. They're not explaining to you the theory of relativity. They're just saying, hey, daddy, mama, I want to call you. The basic conversation, that's a natural desire for that child to be able to cry out in anything. I'm threatened, daddy. I'm threatened, mama. I'm confused, daddy. I'm confused, mama. He's saying that natural desire will come on you in the Holy Spirit that when something happens immediately, I don't know the answer to this. Daddy, tell me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Daddy, that's what he's saying. thing. It becomes innate inside of you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit moves you to be able to have a natural desire to say, I want to talk to you. How cool is that? And then the next thing is, besides Him motivating us and motivating our desire to pray, understand that he gives us a spiritual strength to pray. You see, we don't understand this sometimes, but all you have to do is look back and understand that in the Bible, we see examples of Jesus being energized to pray. Now, let me ask you this. How many people here today have ever been too physically tired to pray? Oh, come on. Come on. Wake the person up beside of you right now and tell them they might need to listen to this. Hey, there's been times when I've blown it off. Let me be the first to confess, okay? God, you know the day I've had. I'm gonna get right here in bed. I mean, I won't be in my spot tonight, but we're going to get it on right here, right? Can I get a witness that ever happened to you? Everything's happened to me today. I'm too tired to pray. Well, guess what? Guess what else the Holy Spirit does? Besides motivating your will to pray, your desire to pray, it energizes you. It gives you strength to pray. You know, Jesus, He was praying in Matthew chapter 26, and His disciples were sleeping. You remember that? They were sleeping. He went away to pray three times, and He came back and He said, you're sleeping. I told you to watch and pray, watch and pray. And they might have said, well, listen, you know the day we've had. Listen, Jesus had the same day, didn't He? Was He sleeping? No. God was energizing Him as He was praying. And the Bible says, as it were great drops of blood. He sweat as if it were great drops of blood. He was energized. Why? Because the Spirit was strengthening him. The Spirit strengthened him to pray. When you look back at Luke 4, and He walked into the wilderness in the midst of temptation to be tempted for 40 days, guess what verses 1 through 3 tells you? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, entered into the desert to pray. Full of the Spirit. He energizes us. God will give you energy to talk to Him. You remember when Jesus and His disciples were making their way through and they stopped at the well and the Samaritan woman was there and the disciples said, well, Jesus, we're going to go on into town because we need to get some food. We've been traveling, right? So they left Him at the well and we realized He had to talk with the lady at the well, the woman at the well. And when they came back, they said, Master, we have food. Well, He had already explained to this woman about the living water, right? And they offered Him food. You know what His answer was to them? He says, I'm not hungry. I've got food. My Father feeds me in ways you have no idea of. How big is that? He feeds me. I can't even explain it to you. You know what it was? It was the Spirit strengthening him. What He was saying is, I ain't tired. I've been having fellowship with my Father. The Spirit strengthens you. You can be strengthened by the Spirit too. You ask Him. And number three, understand, first of all, the Holy Spirit will motivate us to pray. Give us that desire. Number two, it will give us strength and energy to pray. Number three, the Holy Spirit will enlighten us and tell us what to pray. This is what I like. Verse 26 again, Romans 8, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Helpeth. Helpeth. You see, the Holy Spirit has to help us pray. I have to be able to admit, I can't do it without Him. But here's the fact, He won't do it without me. I can't do it without Him. He won't do it without me. I stood up here and watched Jack try to move that chair, didn't I? And I was representing the Spirit that wanted to help him. And Jack tried to move that chair with all of his strength. And he picked up that chair and he would drag it and it would move it. And he was getting wore out. But until he asked me to help him, I couldn't help him. But when he did, I helped him and we did it together. Right? Is that any different than me and you? No. You see, sometimes we don't even know what to say. We don't even know what to pray. Sometimes the burden we're carrying is so heavy, so big, we can't even put it into words. Sometimes we just pray all wrong. Have you ever sat down and just tried to pray for everything? My list has got so long sometimes, and somebody was talking yesterday and said, I want to ask you to pray, but I know you're praying for so many different things and this and that, and I know it's hard to pray, and you think about so many different things. Listen, here's what I want to tell you. If you try to pray for everything, you'll end up praying for nothing. Here's why. We try to get all of our requests into God at one time, don't we? God, here's what I've got, and I go through this list and try to get it on. And I want to ask you something. Why do we? Don't we understand that God is available for us to talk to all the time? Do we only have the ability to go to Him every once in a while and just put it all in one big list? No, God wants us to pray specifically to Him many times. I don't have to remember and put it on some long list with everything else. There's times I want to drop down on my knees and I want to say, God, you know so-and-so. They're on my heart. They're on my mind. I know they're hurting. I know this is going on with them. I want to lift them up to you. It don't have to be listed with the other 50 things you got to pray about. If you try to pray for everything, you'll end up praying for nothing. He wants you to focus on something. It's like my child coming in and telling me 50 different things. They don't even remember what they told me. I don't think we thank God enough when we pray. I don't think we praise God enough when we pray. I don't think we pray for our relationship with Him enough when we pray. I don't think we pray enough for the lost when we pray. I think it's odd that we pray so much. When do you pray the most? When do you pray the most? You pray the most when somebody's sick and you know they're getting ready to pass away, and we pray that they get better, right? Let me tell you something. We get to watch one of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, and here's what He prayed. He says, Father, I pray that those that have me will be with me. That means He's praying for those people to get to heaven and be together with Him. You know it? And I'm sitting down here praying, God, please keep that person down here. So Jesus is praying, bring them to me. I'm praying them, keep them down here. Where are they going to be better, with me or Him? I want them to be with me. Is it wrong for me to pray? No, but understand, sometimes we pray and our focus is all about that. We forget to pray for the lost. In other words, we're praying harder to keep people out of heaven than we are to keep people out of hell. We need to be praying for the lost. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that ushers us into the presence of God. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through the Holy Spirit, through Him, through Jesus, we have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. That's the way we pray. We pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. Pretty cool, huh? Have you ever just not had the words to pray? Do you know that He gives us the words to pray? We read that in Romans 8:26 again. It says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes you're heavy. Your load gets so heavy. Sometimes you want to pray to God and you don't even know what to pray. You just pray, oh! You ever prayed that? God, life is hard. I can't believe this has happened. I don't have an answer. When is this going to change? Oh, God. And the Holy Spirit takes that groaning and is able to translate it to God, be able to give it to Him on behalf of me and you. And this is what's cool. I think this is neat. Verse 27, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for His saints according to the will of God. I think this is so neat. What's neat is that He uses this word, and I want to close with this. That word's a big deal. If you look up and research that word helpeth. You said it a minute ago. That word helpeth. In the translation, that word helpeth, the way it's described to us, has three prefixes. Now, I'm going to get a little bit literary on you, okay? But three prefixes. Now, get this. This is how intentional God is in writing His word. Has three prefixes. The first one is soon, could be spelled S-U-N or S-O-O-N, but that means with. With. The next prefix it has is anti. Anti means face to face. And the third prefix it has is uncommon to us. It's a word called labano, and it means to take hold of. So bear with me in this. These three prefixes that are in this word, helpeth, which is soon, anti, and labano, mean with, faith, face to face, and take hold of. So translated, this word helpeth means to be with, to be face to face, and to take hold of something. Do you remember when me and Jack grabbed this chair together? I came over and I got with him, didn't I? Amen. And how are we standing face to face? And what did we do together? I heard a story told. Adrian Rogers told this story. I thought it was awesome. He said a man was going on his journey and he had this 500-pound bale of hay that was on his wagon, and he hit a rock in the road and the wagon tipped and the bale of hay got off, and he tried as much as he could, but he couldn't move that bale of hay by himself. He couldn't get it back on the wagon, tried, wore out, just get behind it and push, got in front of it, pushed. There's no way he could get it back on the wagon. He said, and somebody came along and helped him. Now, in order to help him, what he had to do was, first of all, he had to stop and get with him. Then they had to get face to face on both sides of that thing. And then they had to take hold of that thing. And he said they got it back on the wagon. And it just represents the same thing that me and you go through when the Holy Spirit comes and takes something. You see, sometimes we get something so big and so heavy, we can't bear it. Sometimes we hit a rock in the road and it seems like it's off the wagon. We can't get it back on. You see, we can't get it to him. You see, the Holy Spirit is our vehicle. Our words, prayer, is when we talk to God. So get this in all its simplicity. When we talk to God, it's words. We pray to God, right? Do you know what your words are? They're vehicles. They take your thoughts to the person you're saying them to, right? If I ask Blake to get me some more water, then he would listen to my words and he would respond to that, either yes or no. But I would be using words. Words took my thought that I wanted water to him. And when we talk to God, our prayer, it's our vehicle. It takes our thought, what we want, to God, right? But if you don't use the Holy Spirit to help you, you don't have the ability to get your big hay bale back on the wagon to get it to God. The Holy Spirit is the help. It is with you. It is face to face, and it takes hold of it with you and says, I'm going to bring it to God because I know you don't know how to say it, what to say. Are we using the Holy Spirit to help us pray? We've went over all of these things, but understand, if you're in this room today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have foregone your ability to pray. God wants fellowship with you, but you have to get it through asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to come into your heart. He will give you fellowship today. You will begin a relationship with Him and a conversation with Him that will last throughout eternity because the Holy Spirit will move inside of you. Then after you get saved, you have to acknowledge the power of God so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This I would say to the saved, to put it in a phrase that you can remember. When you get saved, God has to be more than a resident in your life. He has to be president in your life. You can't just have Him. He has to be the one that's running you. Are we all carnally minded? We are, but the Bible tells us that the Spirit is willing. The Spirit is willing to do that on behalf of us, make intercession for us, take our prayers to God. God gives us this Holy Spirit to help us pray. What do we need to do? Ask Him to fill you with the Spirit, and He will help you pray. This will help you overcome prayer failure. I hope by His words today, you're able to look at your own prayer life, and you're able to answer the question I asked you to begin with: how's your prayer life? And for Christians that are in this room, if you want that conversation with God, if you want to see God work in your life, the first thing before you ask him for anything is to ask him, how are we, God? How do you do that? You come and pray. That's a prayer the Holy Spirit wants to take to him. A prayer that says, if I need to change something, I will, but I want me and you to be on the same page. I'm tired of struggling without you. I'm tired of trying to get my big hay bale back on my wagon. It just will not work. Listen, he wants to help you. He put it inside of you to help you. What are you doing with the power of the Holy Spirit? If you're using it, you won't have prayer failure. Pray with me. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this day. Lord, we're using that vehicle of prayer again to come to you. And I come to you, Lord, on behalf of every person in this room. And I'm asking you, Lord, to teach us. Speak to each person, Lord. Stop in each pew. Let that Holy Spirit that lives inside of every Christian right now, Lord, be able to show us if we're praying the way we should. And I pray, God, that spirit is a spirit of conviction that brings us to our knees today, Lord, that renews our relationship with you, God, so that we will not experience this prayer failure. God, we just don't think about it enough. I'm sorry, I don't either. I know you led us to this because we just don't think about it. We get so busy, Father. We get so distracted. We call on you, but we're just not calling on you in the right way. God, help us. Show us ourselves today. And I pray, God, that relationships are made new with you all over this room today. And I pray, God, for anyone that's in here that's never, or they've never prayed that prayer of repentance and asked for your son Jesus to be their Savior. They've never claimed his blood. They've never asked for forgiveness. I pray, God, today for their boldness to ask him. In Jesus' name, amen.